I love the Lord as my personal savior. And I'm married to one wife. And she is here in the house. Diana is my wife, and Zoe is my daughter. And I am blessed to be part of this family. Mostly not around. I'm in Bangladesh. I work in
Bangladesh.
But I'm glad to see that you are growing as a church. The last time I was here, I was told you were squatters. But I am told you are landowners. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a landlord? That on this earth, there is a place with my name. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Who is Agape?
Munia Agape.
Who is Agape Church?
Munia Agape.
Say
Agape.
Me.
Amen.
So you are a landlord. Hallelujah! And if you're a woman, you can say you're a landlady. Huh? You think it's a joke? It is true. And you see what God has started. He's the one who will finish it.
Amen?
What the Lord has started, He will finish. And one thing you must know that every miracle that you see happening will also happen for you. Owning the land was a miracle. Amen. You will also own lands. You will own houses. It looks like a joke, but it will happen. Because Peter asked Jesus, that Lord, we have lost everything. We have left everything to follow you. What will be there for you, for us? And Jesus told him, I surely I tell you, anyone who has left father or mother or children or land or houses shall receive 100 times in this present world along with persecutions. I have to remind you, there is persecutions. Because God loves us so much that He cannot just leave you to be weak. You see soldiers when they are being trained, they believe they will die. They are taken through the forest. They are beaten. They stay hungry. They can walk for 3 days without water. So that one day, on the day of the war, they can fight. So every challenge you're facing as a Christian, it is God is strengthening your muscles. So if you're facing some sickness in your body, just say, I am going to the gym. God is taking you to the spiritual gym. Because the Bible says godliness holds value for all things. Amen. So I'm very happy to be with you. And today I want to share on a topic on God's dwelling place. God's dwelling place. And I pray that God will help us understand it. And from there we shall have the revelation of where does God dwell. We're going to read Psalms chapter 84. Psalms chapter 84. And I will read from NIV. It says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." Verse 5. "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one." Verse 10. "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I will rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor, and no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you."
Amen.
You see, when we see the psalmist, this is a psalm of David. And you have to understand the understanding of the Old Testament believer. Because to them, they knew God was a God that dwelt in physical places. Their understanding was this church is the dwelling place of God. So to them, they have to go to Jerusalem so that they can go and meet God. They have to make feasts three times a year that they go to Jerusalem so that they can worship with their family and meet God. And so you see, from the Old Testament, we see that God will encounter men in what they will call altars. Altars.
Is it the Bahi?
Altars.
Okay. So, when Abraham will make an altar, then he will offer sacrifice, then God will come and meet him at the place of altar.
Abraham abin mahal albita zebiha, yalo bodi zebiha gidam rabana, ya rabana bidaka blok mahal da.
And so, when now they were making the temple, God tells Moses, make the tabernacle according to the pattern I showed you in heaven. Make the tabernacle according to the pattern I showed you in heaven. And so the tabernacle, the ark of the Lord, was a representative of what Moses saw in heaven.
Ark of the Lord. Mahala rabangi ish fogodi. So look the rabbanande, they are tangi mesilu, came rabbanang ish samawan.
And so God will dwell, will come and make his dwelling in the ark of the tabernacle. But you see, this ark of the tabernacle was just an example, it's just a symbol of where God can dwell in a place. And that is why you see that the psalmist says, "How lovely is your dwelling place." And you see, he was concerned about being in the house of God, going to the house of God. The desire of the psalmist was to be in the presence of God. And he says, my heart, my soul thirsts for the living God. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. I don't know how many have a desire to come to church. How many have a desire to be in the presence of God? To be where God is. And this is how the psalmists were concerned, that they wanted to be where God is. And because they realize there's something about those who dwell in the presence of God. The Bible tells us that blessed are those who dwell in your house, they are ever praising you. That means that every time you are in the presence of God, it is a place where you find that you are praising and lifting God. Why? Because you start to see what God has done in your life. There are many people today who are not here because they are in a hospital. It's already September and we have already buried many people. And so it is nothing of our own ability that makes us to be alive, only the mercy of God. So those who understand the presence of God, they are ever praising God. They have a reason to give thanks to God. Why? Because God does mighty things in their lives. We have just rejoiced of how God has given the church land. And that is a reason to praise God. So as you praise God, the Bible says that he dwells in the praises of his people. So as a person, you have to develop an attitude of praising God. Even when it is hardest to praise God. Even when you have nothing to eat, just say, God, I thank you. Even when you have been kicked out of your house, just say, God, I give you glory. As you're lifting your things, start dancing and giving thanks to God. Because you know you dwell in the house of God. And you see something else about those who dwell in the house of God. The Bible says that they grow from strength to strength. Every time you spend in the presence of God, every time you are conscious of the presence of God, there's something that God gives you that is called strength in the inner man. I don't know how many woke up one day you are feeling sick. Or you are wake up with a headache. Or you are having a stomach ache. But then as you are praising God, as you started praying and just said, thank you God for this morning, then you don't know what happened. That pain disappeared. Why? Because you received strength from God. So anytime you recognize and you are conscious of the presence of God, when you are praying to God, you receive strength from God. And the Bible says that they go from strength to strength. That means that you are not weak. The enemy wants to make you think you are weak. Your circumstances may make you think that you are weak. But God says, if you have set your heart on him, And your strength is in God. You grow from strength to strength. Another thing that we see about those that dwell in God's presence is that they have supernatural multiplication.
Ziada.
Ziada.
That is because the Bible says as they go through the valley of Baca, this Baca was a desert. So the Bible says that these people, as they are going through this dry valley of desert, they make it a place of springs. That means that your presence in your office is the one that makes the difference. The reason your family receives a blessing is because you are there. So you can go to any place, you can go to another country, and you can make it a blessed nation. Why? Because as you're going through that dry place, the presence of God inside you brings the blessing around you. And you will start to see that things are aligning for your favor. You might not understand how God can multiply the small that we give and make it big. But it is because as a person you have chosen to dwell in the house of God. But now you have to understand that the presence of God is not just the house. The Bible tells us that, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? That God bought you with a price. So you are expensive. Tell your neighbor you are expensive. Because God bought you with a price. God did not just buy you for free. So when the enemy comes, tell him, I belong to God. I am God's property. So if you want to touch me, you have to talk to God first. That is why when the devil wanted to touch Job, he has to go and ask for permission. And God is the one who is boasting about Job. That, have you seen my servant Job? I have none like him. And then God says, but it's because you have surrounded him. Job was walking on the earth. But he did not know that he had a hedge of fire around him. As a believer, there is a wall of fire around you. That God has protected you with fire. That even when the witchcraft and the wizards come looking for you at night, they say, don't go there, there is fire there. You can even find when they are flying at night, if they make a mistake to fly over the house of a believer, you find someone is confused, is up your roof. Because he made a mistake to enter into the house of fire. Why? Because God protects his own children. That is why you will ask yourself, I have been here the whole year, I have not gone to the clinic. Why? Because when the malaria comes, he sees fire. When mosquitoes come, they see fire. When typhoid comes, they see fire. And God has placed a wall of fire around you. And that is why the Bible says that these people who have set God as their dwelling place. That when they go through the valley of Baca, God makes it into a place of springs. So you bring life. Tell your neighbor you carry life. Everything that is dead in your life receives life today. Why? Because you are, when you are with God, there is supernatural multiplication. And the Bible says that they go from strength to strength till they each appear before God in Zion. Every time you are conscious of the presence of God, because Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will send you the helper, who will send you another helper, who is the Spirit of truth, who will live with you forever. God say that the Holy Spirit will come and make his home inside of us. That means that the dwelling place of God is the heart of a believer. So the moment you accept Jesus in your life, what happens is that God comes and makes his home inside of you. So when you're looking for God, you're not coming to find him in this building. But God in his presence, he comes and lives inside you. And he lives with you. And he's all around you. Can you imagine? God is in, he fills all things. He is everywhere. And then he comes and walks with you. And then he also lives inside you. And then he says, he has seated us with him in heavenly places. So you are living in God, and God is living inside you. You are God dwells in you. And he has also, Jesus said, when I go to my Father, I will make a place for you, and I will bring you to be with me. So that reality is not in the future. It is also now. It is just that you are not aware that you are looking for God. That when you wake up, you say, no, I need to pray 1 hour first before I touch God. Because you are thinking God is far away from you. But Paul said, when he's saying that men, that God made it in a way that men might look for God, though he is not far away from them. So as a believer, you have to be conscious that God lives in you. And the Bible says that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. So it is not even by feeling. Some people think it is only when they feel the presence of God. They only say when the worship is sweet. And then they start to feel some shaking. Or they start to feel their eyes are burning. Or they feel some fire in their legs. That feeling is good. Because God at times wants you to also have a physical experience that you will not doubt that God is with you. And that is why at times when you pray, you can sense the closeness of the presence of God. But the Bible tells us that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So God's desire is that you will know that he is dwelling in your heart. So he's not just in this physical church. So it is not how big the church looks like. The Bible says that some people think they are in the church of God, but they are in the synagogue of Satan. So you might go to a church, you think it is so big, but it is the synagogue of Satan. Why? Because if God is not in you, there is someone else in you. Because God has made it in a way that our bodies are carriers. The Bible says that when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes to dry places. And if it does not find rest, it says, I will go back to my home. So that means that someone who is not saved can be a home for demons and devils. And so the devil says that I will go back to my home. And then the devil comes and finds your home is clean. It finds that there is no other occupant. And who is that person? The devil comes to check, has Jesus entered your heart? So you can find someone they was praying for, demons were left the person. But the person goes back to the world. He does not replace the evil spirit with the spirit of God. And the demon says, now let me go and bring 7 more wicked spirits than me. That means that spirits in their classification is based on their wickedness. It's not on their size, it's on their wickedness. So he says, I will go and bring 7 more spirits, more wicked than me. And the Bible says the state of the person is worse than it was in the beginning. And that is why you find someone that knew God, and they fall away, they become worse than they were before. Because the demons that left in the first time comes to find and bring more wicked spirits than before. And the Bible says it is impossible to restore someone that has tasted the goodness of the Lord and has fallen away. Because to their shame, they are crucifying the Son of God over and over again. But tell your neighbor, that is not my story. I am the dwelling place of God. I am the temple of God. God lives inside of me. When the devil comes to find me, he sees a hedge of fire. Another thing that we see about those that live in the presence of God, we have seen that they appear before God in Zion. That means that God opens their eyes to see God. Anytime you are conscious of the presence of God, God starts to give you insight. God starts to give you revelation. He gives you an understanding of Him. Because God responds to our revelation of Him. How you relate with God, it depends on how much you know about Him. If you know God as a healer, anytime you face sickness, you laugh. Because you know that I know Jehovah is Jehovah Rapha. And the Bible, and you know that He says, by His stripes we were healed. That means that healing was given. Healing is already in past tense. That means that it is not that we shall be healed, that but we were healed. So to you, you must know that by revelation, I am healthy. You are healthy. And the warfare that you fight is that you take every thought captive that is not and make it obedient to Christ. So every thought that makes you feel like you are sick, you bring it to the word of God and you align it and you make it obedient to Christ. So when you know God as Jehovah Jireh, He is your provider, and you check your pockets and you feel there is nothing, but you go back to the word that says, I am blessed. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that His divine power has given us all that we need for life and godliness. So what you need for life, God has given you. What you need for your family, God has given you. What you need for your marriage, God has given you. What you need for your ministry, it is already provided. The Bible says His divine power has given us. Not that will give us. Has given us everything. So whatever you need, God has already given. Hagar was crying, oh, I need water. And God opened her eyes to see the water that was next to her. So at times we are crying so much, but what God needs to, we need to ask God, God, open my eyes to see where the provision is. It says that they grow from strength to strength till each appear before God in Zion. So you dwell in heaven. You live in heaven because you are appearing before God in Zion. So as you know God through knowledge, it is as you desire to know God. So the level of your life is based on what you know. It is what you know that determines where you are and what you know about God. And the Bible says that the Lord God is a sun and a shield. So God is our protector. As I've said, He puts a hedge of fire around us. And the Bible says that He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from him whose walk is blameless. So everything that is good, God gives you. Say, I am a receiver of good things. I get good jobs. I am the best. I have good health. I live in a good estate. Why? Because the Bible says no good thing does He withhold from him whose walk is blameless. And the Bible says that our righteousness is the righteousness of God. So we do not carry blame. Sin. When God looks at us, He looks at Christ. Because we have put our faith in Christ. Now, because we are conscious that we are carrying God's presence, We qualify for good things. You see, you can have a mindset that you feel you are weak. I don't think I can own a car. I don't think I can ever go to university. I don't think I can even be married. Even if I want, I don't think I can marry in a church. Because in your mind, you are not conscious that the God who owns everything lives inside you. And God himself has said he will give you favor. That means that you become God's favorite. When you are the favorite of God, when you go for an interview, they don't know why they are choosing your CV. But like, I can give this testimony. I wanted to do an interview. I did application. I did the exam. And then I said, I don't even want the job. I withdraw. But then they start to ask themselves, but this person, he was the best in the test. Why did he come out? Please go and ask him to continue with the exam. Now that is not because you are special. It's not because of wisdom that you have, but it is because God says this one is my favorite. And because you are God's favorite, he makes you favored before men. And the Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and man. So when God favors you, he makes you favored before men and also before him. So there is something that God puts on you that makes you likable to men. That makes men don't know why they want to give to you. But the Bible says that the Lord bestows favor and honor. And you can imagine, these are the Old Testament believers realizing about God. Their understanding was God was still in a distance. He's just in the temple. But they realized that the Lord gives them favor. And God blesses and brings increase. So every good thing dwells with you. The Bible says, by wisdom a house is built. Christ is our wisdom. We have the mind of Christ. So we are wiser. Jesus said that now one wiser than Solomon is here. That he is wiser than Solomon. So that means that if Jesus is wiser than Solomon and he lives in you, that means you yourself, you have the wisdom that is greater than Solomon. And the Bible says, blessed is the one who trusts in you. You see, apart from you being the house of God, the Bible says also us collectively, we are being built up together into the house of God. So God's presence does not only dwell in you as a person, but it also dwells in us collectively as the house of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 to 6, it says that you also are live as lively stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, that you may offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. So you and me together, we make up God's house. So that is why when we gather together, you receive the blessing or the experience that someone else has about God. And by us being together, we are being built up into the house that also hosts God. That's why it says, to him that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in my house. So each of us is building the house of God together. And that is why there cannot be competition in the house of God. God is so big that he can make all of you anointed. God is big that he can make all of you miracle workers. That when you come together, he says, one has a prophecy, one has a song, one has a sharing, one has received a vision. So do not worry if the young boy next to you starts to see walking visions. Because God has said all of us together are being built up into a spiritual house. As you are building yourself, you are contributing to the house of God. Some people just want to be nails in the house of God. But you can be a pillar in the house of God because you have built yourself spiritually. The Bible says, build up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So as you build up yourself, as God dwells in you, he starts to make you a pillar in his house. And then now God can depend on you to build other stones to be in the house. And that is why he has appointed some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be pastors and teachers, so that they can equip the body of church to do works of ministry, so that we all grow up in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So God does not dwell in human temples as we think it, but he has chosen to dwell in us. And not only in us individually, but also in us collectively as one body. That is why each and every one of us is important. And that is why you have the special teenagers. You have the Sunday school. You have the choir. You have the intercessors. You have the pastors. Each and every one of us is a body that is hosting God. And that is why when an unbeliever comes, he says, hey, God is here. Because you have converted all the maximum presence of God, the fullness of God. And he starts to overflow in your life. You must first give your heart to Jesus. If you are not born again, God cannot dwell in your heart. And the things that dwell in your heart are now demons and the spirit of darkness. But the moment you accept Jesus to live inside you, He comes to live inside. And now, yes, you are born again. But now your mind is still covered with a veil. You are thinking that God is still, when I go on Sundays, when I can find God. But God is with you. God is inside you. You can speak to him. He can speak to you. That's why someone would say, I don't know what told me to go this road. But you see, when you have consecrated yourself, even your thoughts become guided by God. That you don't know why you thought of your neighbor, and then he knocks on your door. You woke up in the morning and you remembered your cousin in Uganda. And then in the evening you get a call that they are sick. Why? Because now God starts to reveal, to show you things. Because now you are his friend. So there are people God is living inside of them. Like the disciples were with Jesus in the boat. But Jesus was asleep. And they were dying. And they came and told Jesus, 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 don't you care that we die? And Jesus asked them, where is your faith? They should have known that because Jesus is in the boat, if he's asleep, let us join him and sleep. The man knows that he cannot die. That's what he's asking, but you guys have been with you all this time. So to you, God is with you, you have accepted Jesus. But Jesus in you is asleep. You have not learned to speak with him. You have not learned to hear his voice. You don't have a relationship with him. So you're still covered, your eyes are covered. But today I want you to know God is inside you. And today when you wake up and just say, God, thank you. Even when you are driving, you can start praying in tongues. Even when you are showering, you can be speaking to God. Even when you are sleeping, you can be waking up when you're praying. Why? Because each and every moment, God is with you. And then when we gather together, my God, we receive the multiple blessing of God. And we are encouraged. And we are strengthened. And we are prophesied upon. And we receive knowledge. And the knowledge that gives us a greater sight of God. And we receive the word of God. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So today, put your faith in God. That God has not left you. The circumstances around you are a lie. If things don't look like they're working, it is a lie. Because anything that is contrary to the word of God is a lie. So you can speak to the lie and say, headache, stop lying to yourself. You cannot lie to me. I have health. Hallelujah! You can say poverty. I am rich. I have the riches of God in Christ Jesus. I am a blessed man. Everywhere I go is blessed. Everywhere I step my feet is blessed. Everywhere I go is blessed. So it is a mindset and a consciousness that you must carry. And that is why he says, you take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And the Bible says God is able to make everything complete for us once our obedience is complete. Walk in a blameless fashion. Trust in the faithfulness of Christ. Ask God constantly to search you. What is it that is inside you that is limiting him? Is it my relationship with my family? Is it my relationship in the workplace? Is it my how I think? What is it that the enemy is still holding on me? And bring it to the cross of Jesus. And tell Jesus, this area, I'm still struggling. I need your help. I need your help. And God is able to help us. I want us to take a moment and stand. And let us close our eyes. The Bible says we have come before Mount Zion. We have come to the holy mountain. We have come to the throne room of God. It is a place where we can receive strength. I don't know what it is that you need from the house of God today. I don't know what answer you are asking from God. Our God is able to meet us today at our point of need. He's able to answer us. Maybe you have been going through a sickness. God is able to give you healing today. Maybe you have been trusting God for opportunities. God is able to provide. Maybe you have been trusting God for breakthrough. God is able to make a way where there is no way. Maybe you have been needing God to heal you. You need peace from God. God is the Prince of Peace. Take a moment and speak to God this morning. Just open your mouth and say, Father, I know you are not far away from me. I know you are near me today. I need you today. I have been feeling weak within me, but I need your strength, oh God. You say anyone that comes to you, they grow from strength to strength. And in the name of Jesus, may you receive strength today. May you receive the healing of the Lord. May you receive the blessing of God. May you receive the favor of God. May you walk in good things. May you walk in blessings. May you make desert places around you become fruitful. May you convert the barren land into a forest. May everything that you touch turn to gold. May your hands be blessed in the name of Jesus. You are a blessing. God has blessed you to be a blessing. You are a mighty nation. You are the head and not the tail. God has raised you above all the nations of the world. You grow from strength to strength. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You are an overcomer. And if you're there and you have not given your life to Jesus, and you want God to dwell in your heart, I want you to indicate by raising your hand. I want to pray with you that you give your life to Jesus. Please raise your hand high so that you receive Jesus. Yes, my sister, thank you. You know Jesus is not in your heart. Lift up your hand. And I want you to take another step and come forward. Because when Jesus said that if you come to him, he shall never reject you. Please come forward. I want to pray with you so that Jesus will live in your heart from today. Come to in front so that Jesus will dwell in your heart. You know for sure that God is not in your heart. Come forward.
Ana jale Yesu, amen. Hallelujah. Ana jale Yesu, amen. Hallelujah. Ana jale Yesu, amen. Hallelujah. Ana jale.
Going to pray for anyone who needs an answer from God. Is there something that you need from God? I'll ask you to come forward. Come forward that you are believing God for. And we are going to pray that God will answer you. The two that came forward, pray after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come before you. I am a sinner. I ask that you forgive me. Cleanse my heart from all sin. From today, I want to be your child. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, that I may walk with you every day of my life. Let me know that you are with me and you will never leave me or forsake me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let us pray together for all the needs that are here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your children that have come before you. You know their needs. You know that which they desire. You say that delight yourself in the Lord, and you shall fulfill the secret longings of their hearts. And Father, you know that which even they cannot tell a man. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that they shall receive their answers today, and they shall receive it quickly. You know the needs of your children. And you say that even before we ask you, you have answered. And by faith, I speak that they receive their answers in Jesus' name. Receive the answers of the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord. Receive the favor of the Lord. Receive the healing of the Lord. Receive the miracle that you have been trusting God for. May you walk in a new level. May you walk in a new grace. May you walk in victory. No good thing will you ever lack. You shall receive every good gift. Every good thing is yours. You are blessed in Jesus' name. May you walk in victory from today and all the days of your life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've got the joy down in my prayer. down in my heart, where down in my heart I got the joy coming.
Down in my heart,
where down in my heart to stay, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart, and I'm so happy.